Another day, Wes Wyatt. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. We've been racking and stacking guests like crazy, Randy.
We are. I think I'm going to go to the airport and see if I can get a job in the control tower. What do you think?
They should offer you one, because I got to tell you, we've been negotiating guests like hotcakes over here.
I know we have been. It's funny. We've actually been talking to one guest or waiting for a guest and negotiating with other guests. So, we're racking and stacking. I love it. So
we are racking and stacking. And before we run the bumper, I want you, when you get on with Shannon, to ask him if, in fact, or he can answer, since he's listening in the background, because he's a bow tie wearer. Do bow tie people, when they see each other, actually exchange bow ties? Because we were told that that was a thing that bow tie wearers would do if they liked the bow tie and they agreed. Do they swap and find out if that is in fact true?
We need to know, because Bob told us it could happen, but never to him, right? So we got to find out.
Yeah.
We need to know. Why don't we just go talk to Shannon and find out?
Let's do that.
All right. Cheers, brother. Let's go.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, Shannon, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. How are you guys doing today? We're
doing great. It's just another day alive doing what we love, right?
You know what? Couldn't ask for anything more.
We could not. We could not. So before we even start, because I'll forget.
Okay.
Tell me the bow tie thing. If Wes asked, you remember, as the producer director, buddy and pal, and sometimes bodyguard, he has the ability to pull me off air anytime he wants. So I have to, abide by his rules. What about the bow tie thing?
I've heard the story before, but I can honestly say I've never run into this. I started wearing the bow tie specifically for the podcast. The idea of being a geek sort of, for me, kind of encompassed, the suspenders, the tie, the bow tie, and kind of where the Shed Geek podcast got started. It was just for that purpose. Outside of this, believe it or not, I wear hoodies and blue jeans. That's about it. But, no, I've never actually exchanged a bow tie with anyone, but you know what? I might start now.
Well, if you like one, because according to a recent guest we had that we dropped his podcast, I think a week ago, Bob Pavanowski, he's a, hospitality guy. And part of his deal for his shows is when he speaks, I should say, or does his videos and podcasts, is he's got to talk through the bow tie. And because sort of from the hospitality world,
Sure.
And so we asked him the same question, or Wes did, because Wes is strangely, I think he wants to start wearing bow ties. And I think he's a closet bow tie wearer. And he doesn't want to tell us. That's what I think. But actually, go ahead.
I enjoy it. I love it. I don't know what it is. It's you've seen Superman. So I'm from the city of Metropolis, Illinois, and
get out of here. We're Illinois, Superman. No,
Superman. It's the only, you'll find this hard to believe, but you will not see me and Superman in Metropolis at the same time. It's so strange.
I wonder.
The reality is, it's the only town in I think America named Metropolis, but it's the destination home of Superman. They have a celebration every year because of it. And I actually started with this character. I thought, Superman would go into a booth and he would change his clothes and come out as Superman from Clark Kent. So I just go into my hoodie and my blue jeans and I come out as the Shed Geek. I just go inside a shed instead of a phone booth. So it's a lot of fun. And I feel like sort of a representative of the industry with this, if you will, because you kind of become that character, almost that little, the avatar, logo and everything. So it's just fun. And of course you get a lot of looks when you look like this. So.
Well, exactly. And you've hit a new high, because you just hit it. You are the avatar of the shed industry. Don't get any better than that.
I love representing the industry. It has certainly served me well. So anything that I can do to shine a positive light on it means a lot.
two things. I want to get into who you are, what you do, and why you do it, your podcast, and everything else. But I like the next time you've got to let Wes and I know if you ever exchange a bow tie. We have
the first
to know.
First time I do, I'm tagging you guys on LinkedIn.
Tag us. As a matter of fact, send us, even better than that, we will do a short 10-minute video together about how it happened, where you were, because we got to know. And I see that's way cool because my little thing, especially when I'm traveling, is I'm a cool socks guy. I found this hashtag cool socks. I have no pair of socks that don't have weird stuff. And one thing that I never do is I pull out, if I'm on the road, for example, if I have six nights, I got six pair of socks, I reach in and grab them. I don't have any, pay zero attention to, does it match the outfit? Because that's part of the draw to that. The thing is, though, is exchanging a bow tie would be different than, let's say, and I like your socks. You'd like to exchange socks? Because that would be weird, I think.
Yeah, right. I would probably walk away from the guy asking to exchange socks. But I love it that you have the cool socks thing. My son does this. He does the cool socks thing. And I think it really takes a particular personality to pull that off. But it's so fun, isn't it? It's like those highs and the bow ties. You throw on whatever, and people kind of appreciate that humor, I think.
The funny thing is, when I started doing it, I just had on some, and it's so perfect. Because what you mentioned, Superman, I had Superman socks on.
Nice.
I was sitting at a National Frame Builders Association show in Nashville, and you've probably been there at the Opryland Complex, so we're outside where you go into the show hall, inside, but outside the show hall. And I'm sitting on this brick little area with my leg crossed, and I had my Superman socks showed. Then this guy and his wife, I assumed, or girlfriend, whatever, she goes, "Oh, I love your socks." Oh, well, thank you. And so then I started going, I'm going to start doing these. And like I'll post in the morning early, 6 a.m. out the door, the day socks are, whatever. And I actually have had customers or followers send me socks. You know,
nice.
It's just cool. You know, it's just a fun thing to do.
You can custom make these socks. So now I'm going to have to look into sending you some Shed Geek socks.
I would wear them. I will wear them on air.
Perfect.
I wear them on there. So, well, cool. So let's get into Shannon. Who in the world, besides you're the Shed Geek, but give us who you are, why the Shed Geek, what you do. Let's just rock and roll. And you're a podcaster. You got the Shed Geek podcast. So I could probably go take a break and I'll be back in 20 minutes, but I may have something. Who knows? Go ahead. Who is the Shed Geek?
So the Shed Geek sort of is the end to a long search for purpose and career, if you will. I have, even on my website, and I talked about this on a previous podcast, I've put on there, I'm the result of a lot of bad jobs, bad bosses, but also bad decisions. And growing up just, without... I didn't have a direction really in what I wanted to do. I did always appreciate construction in my early years as a young man. I even worked as a home builder for a small time. And I enjoyed construction but more than anything, I went to work at a casino of all things at one point. So we'll start with, married for almost 23 years now. So met my wife in high school. We struggled through our early years, have a couple of babies early, one who just moved out and was getting married in June, and one that's getting ready to go to school. Goodness. So we're going to be empty nesters soon.
Wow. Nice.
But we jumped through this, this battle of being in sort of a poor area, didn't go to college, didn't really have purpose, and went to work for the casino industry. And the casino industry is very unique in that typically you walk in, and if you walk out, you've walked out with a experience, not necessarily a product. So when you walk out, it's all about how you feel. And I learned that I really had a knack for talking to people. They would do this really cool thing where they would put you on the spotlight where you talk to a customer and you had to check off all these different things. And I started realizing that I liked people more than I thought I did. And I really started to enjoy and just embrace the sales side of it, the customer service side of it, and getting to know people. People became very interesting to me, and history was very interesting to me, and finding out why did you get where you got? How did you do it? How, and career had always evaded me. You know, I had tried these different things and messed up many on my own accord and then had bad luck in other ways. And I thought, when am I going to land on something that I really enjoy, that I like doing? And lo and behold, I was working in ministry. I'd worked in the shed industry in purchasing. And I had a friend from church just say, hey, you want to start a shed lot? I know that you know something about the shed industry. And I said, well, I don't know about the industry, but let's give it a shot. And mixed with sales and a passion for sales and people and ministry, I jumped right in and started selling. And one thing led to another where the industry got very small to me. It's very large, but it got very small to me in the communication and the people that I got to meet. And it just felt like home. Everyone was so welcoming. Everyone was so friendly. And I began to realize that maybe selling wasn't even my spot. And went to work as a rent-to-own rep for a while and traveled the country. And I'm sitting at home one day and I'm an avid podcast listener. I'm a talk radio guy, right? I love listening to Thought and I love listening to all of these different shows and boring shows is what most people would say. And I realized podcasting is, I mean, it's just that, isn't it? It's not broadcasting, it's podcasting. It's talking about something that you know, like, and enjoy and being passionate about it. And me and a friend of mine just, I bought the equipment and said, hey, you want to do this? I'm going to do it with or without you. And we had jumped in and he's moved on now to some marketing adventures and things like that. But, I just stuck right with it, man. Stuck in here and said, this is what I want to keep doing. I want to find out about people, their stories, this industry, where's it going? Why is it here? What can we do to change it? And the next thing I know, I started getting requests for advertising, you know, and, nice. And built a plan around that and became full time in doing what I'm doing. So love it, enjoy it. And the goal, whenever I was with Rent to Own, to be clear, my wife had found out that she had breast cancer. And the concern for me was, how do I stay home and care for my wife, but then also reach people? And as I'm listening to podcasts, I just kind of feel this, wait a minute, you know, you don't have to go out and knock on everyone's door. Maybe you can create opportunity or create value for people. And maybe they'll want to listen to you or what you have to say. And it wasn't as much what I had to say as the guest. So I started inviting people on. It's the old quote, you know, help as many people get what they want. You can have what you want. So you just start putting information out there and all these people were saying, where's the other resources for the shed industry? Where are they at? I want to know where to find more stuff and information. And I'm in this fishbowl when I'm out here trying to sell. What's everyone else seeing? And Facebook was the only medium that they could do that. So the podcast just, it took off, man, and it's been great. It's been absolutely great.
That's awesome, and it's excellent because I've watched a couple shows. I think I first was introduced to you, I believe, from who is now mutual friends of ours, Barry Bontrager. Gary. I was on his podcast, and he was, I think actually we're dropping his shortly, I think, but we've recorded nice. His great guy. And, yeah. I really enjoyed what you brought to the table. And so then I went back and said, I got to follow this guy and see what's going on and listen to some of your shows. And that's what caused me to reach out to you, you know, and say, look, we need to get together. And, because we're semi in the same industry as we talked. I mean, not semi, we are, so, For anybody that silly enough to not really understand exactly what we say and we talk about the shed industry, give me the 101 lesson on what we talk about when we talk about the shed industry.
Sure. So for me, experience in the shed industry, what I experienced probably first was a couple of different things. I was kind of surprised at how close knit of a community it was. There's definitely a lot of dog eat dog still even in the industry, but it doesn't really relic the rest of the world near as much. There's help from shed hauling and shed building and shed sales. There's shared communication. And I think there's really this mentality to move forward and do good together and try and figure out how you could maintain your own identity, maintain your own individuality and competitive advantage, but also still not be so difficult, you know, to your competition, I guess, if you will, cutthroat. So that was one of the things that really attracted me. I know there's a lot of faith in the industry, which means a lot to me. That was certainly an important part of my journey is doing like drug-based, faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation. So that was exciting to me to be able to see those things. But the shed industry is so much, isn't it? It's not just portable, movable sheds, but then it's pole sheds, and then it's you know, it's carports, and it's backyard furniture at your lot. It's U-Hauls if that's what you have to do to get your shed lot moving. So it's so fragmented. There's so many different things. There's these large companies that have been in existence for years, selling hundreds of million dollars of sheds a year. And then there's the guy who just decides, I'm going to open up a shed lot right here in my backyard, and I'm going to sell $100,000 worth of sheds a year, $1 million worth of sheds a year. So it's in this massive season, what seems like of growth. I think back to our first episode was with Gideon Zook, and he was one of the first portable shed builders in Pennsylvania. This was in the 70s, 74 maybe. And I think him and his two brothers were building. And he said his dad came to him as him and his two brothers were building and said, two of you boys are going to have to move on and do something different or else you're going to flood the market. Which is hilarious to think of like where it's come to now, because right. there's like 60 shed manufacturers in Lancaster County. So, you know, you think of definitely the small portable shed or outbuilding or typically speaking, but it encompasses so much more. So it's really a unique and awesome industry.
It is. And, you know, the thing that I find interesting about the shed industry, you talked about how big it is. It's shrunk for you, but how big it is. I think about, because I'm going to be there next week in Holmes County, Ohio. Uh-huh. And yep. I swear you could drive about 13 steps and there's another shed lot, right? And, sure. and nice sheds and beautiful yes. sheds. But wouldn't you think, and it always makes me think, even coming from the industry, that doesn't everybody on planet Earth that needs a shed have a shed by now? But yet, wow, they're just they're everywhere and they're all doing well, right?
Yeah, they are. 2020 and 2021 saw probably the best year in shed sales. And I think, you know, even if units were down, which I think units were up because we saw inventory flying off the shelf. But I mean, units went up, but then also the retail price went up. And I think some of that is just kind of given way to. We're a fairly traditional industry. You know, there's a large community of Anabaptists that does build in our industry. And because of that, you're probably not going to see as much of an emergence of technology, but you are seeing where technology is beginning to run its course. And we're not immune to that in shed. So whether it's building design, you're seeing a lot of tech come into different components of building design, just owning a website in general, but then optimizing those websites and learning about CRMs and SEO. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of people just really set out to build a shed, didn't they? They just really set out to build a pole shed. And they're like, I just enjoy, you know, putting these things together and maybe doing some R&D and creating some really cool things like you see in Holmes County, you know, a shed that looks way more, way beyond what you would have seen 5, 10, 20 years ago. And I think that that's what's happening. I think that you're just seeing sort of this bust onto the scene, the shed just show up into everybody's yard, because outside of your home and outside of your vehicles, probably the next largest purchase on your property is a shed. Mm-hmm. And with America, we like excess. We like extra stuff. We need a place to put our stuff.
Right.
And you can have a shed conveniently delivered to your home, right there to your backyard. And a lot of people still don't know that, you know, they, right. I think a lot of people think of it as, oh, I've got to go to the hardware store and I've got to buy the components, and you can do that. But just the idea that it's available and for an affordable price to just show up in your yard. How cool is that, mm-hmm. that you can get everything you need? And I don't know about you, but I'm a garage guy. I like to hang out in my garage. I think right. that's the coolest room in the house. So you yeah. can go to a real estate developer. And while they tell you that it's all about the kitchen and it's all about the bathroom, trust me, get the guy out there in the garage and get him looking around, because that's what he wants to see.
Exactly. So you need a kitchen, bathroom for the wives, and a garage for the guy, and you got a
garage for the guy. That's right. Perfect. And it's just such an interesting industry, Randy. It serves both purposes. I mean, we're seeing in newer generations this move to like minimalism, right? You know, where I want less, so I don't need excess. I don't want extra stuff. We want the minimum. We don't have too many clothes. We don't have too many dishes. So we're going tiny. See, we want a tiny home. Shed builders are building tiny homes. You're literally capturing both sides of the market. You want to have a space for your extra stuff? Go see a shed guy. You want to go really small and have a minimalistic tiny home lifestyle? Go see a shed guy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and people want, I'm not saying that the we'll call it the typical big box tin or plastic shed doesn't exist, and they do, and they're out there. But there's a large market, it seems, and just again using just Holmes County because I'm going there next week, and surrounding counties. But there's a supermarket for the nicer shed, right? The higher end looks like a house, like you said. Yeah. It's something to be proud of in your backyard. And even if you're minimalistic, they're great for the kids' playhouse, backyard office for the guy or the wife, or a gardening place or craft place for the wife. I mean, it's not limited to just sticking a bunch of bikes and lawnmowers in, right?
Absolutely. And we saw a lot of that, especially with COVID. You saw a lot of people working from home needing extra space, or they were at home and they said, hey, now's the perfect time to go out in the yard and take a look around. And the next thing they realize is, hey, we need a new garden shed, you know, or we need more space, or an exercise room, or a place to play music, or whatever your hobby is, you know. And you see that, and then you're seeing the emergence of, all these different technologies. I mean, it you have two sides. You definitely have an economy-based shed. You have someone who's trying to do more of a cookie-cutter thing and work in automation and maybe try to provide something that's just simplistic. And then you have the builders that really focus on quality. Go to a shed manufacturer's website. Go to 10 of them. You're going to see the word quality. If it's not in their name already, you're going to see that show up, because they take a great amount of pride in building what sounds like it was just an outbuilding or a shed. You know, double top plates. They're putting hurricane ties on each rafter. You know, they're running 3/4 inch flooring. You know, lifetime metal or something. You know, they're really doing. They're trying to take what has always been traditionally thought of as just a place to go store stuff, and really build something that has a long shelf life on it. So you're seeing some really cool emergence. You know, corbels and all these different like cool little things that's going on sheds that you're like, wow, that shed looks nicer than, you know, some homes in some cases, really.
Yeah, I know that there's two areas that always amaze me is some of those sheds that you see that are just, like you said, better than the house at times. And the other area that's always funny is that because I have product that gets sold into the equine market, you know, and it's always amazing the amount of people that, or the amount of money that people put into their horse barn. Versus anything else. It's almost like I'll live in a tent if I need to, right? But my horse barn is going to be this Taj Mahal, if you will, right? But that's good, because it's fun to see those high end projects or even medium range, but the quality that goes in and dealing with, as you mentioned earlier, the Anabaptist community. I've dealt with that world my whole life, and so many of my customers come from that plain community, if you will, or offsets of. And they are all about doing quality work.
Yes.
Quality is number one. It's not just a slogan. It's just what they live every day. Right. And it's gotta be fun for you to be involved from that level. And speaking of your involvement, that's kind of where I wanted to run here, maybe for a minute, is so you're doing your podcast live as much as you can. And so you're really an advertising extension, a marketing extension for a lot of these guys. And I'm sure some of them that maybe don't understand or even care about marketing, but somehow I guess I probably need to do something. You're probably a lifesaver for some of those guys, because you're going to do for them what they may not do for themselves, right?
Sure. And really, we've, you know, accidentally stumbled up onto so many things in trying to reach the audience more than doing just an audio podcast. you know, we began to think about, hey, how do we add video and create a YouTube channel? So I really began to learn. I say all the time, I'm not a tech geek, I'm a shed geek, but I sort of have been introduced into this world of technology that I'm slowly starting to embrace myself. And it's, I'm learning more, because we're doing this video. We're starting to see with the video that we can promote products. So we can promote to our audience, but then we can also interview our audience. And, there's so many people to interview, from shed haulers, you know, to individual shed selling lots, to shed manufacturing, but then everyone who offers products and services within that industry as well, too. There's a whole market there of people who want to get in front of people. We're averaging somewhere between our plain community friends who actually have a call in line, based out of Holmes County, and also our YouTube channel and, our hosting site, somewhere around 1,000 to 1,000 plus listeners every Wednesday. And that's really nice to have, that B2B model where we're specifically talking to the industry. So if you find your way on most of the time and you say, Shed Geek Podcast, well, we try to make it interesting. It's education through entertainment. So I want to make it for the everyman who can just get on and listen. And even if I'm talking to, someone about shed 3D technology, there's something that we can say that's valuable and something that's entertaining for the every person. But then on top of that, you start thinking about being able to market and repurpose your value. We've had recently one of the larger corporations reach out and say, how do we incorporate podcasting into what we do? Podcasting is growing right now at a rate faster than what the internet was growing. Now, I expect that to slow down at some point, but, and not to get political, but I think a lot of it has to do with people having trust on a more local level, trust on a more individual level than going to a large broadcaster media to listen to things. So you can talk about, I've gotten conversations about motorcycles on the podcast and almost taking a left turn too far here or there. And you try to bring it back and sort of incorporate everything around the shed and how it's related to, but you can repurpose these things. You can talk about, if you're a shed company or you're building a pole shed or anything, could you imagine being able to come on and talk about your product and put that link on your website? Because 63% of people, they're shopping online even before they come in to find out about you. So even if they want to come to your lot and have a discussion, they're going to do some research first, because people love being able to research from the comfort of their home without any high pressure sales. And then they'll come in with an educated perspective on, how do I not let this sales guy get me, right? How do I not let him sell me something that I want? So they come in with that education ahead of time already, and they're welcomed by going onto the website, by feeling like they have a friendly personality already that they know. Hey, are you Summit Portable Buildings? I feel like I know who Summit Portable Buildings is. I went on and watched your podcast. I learned about you. And I liked you. I liked what you had to say. And I liked, you know, the way that you address your customers. Those are things that you're never going to get an opportunity. If you're in sales, you're never going to get a chance to do, because this customer, if you can't get them qualified and get them to sit down and get off of the impulse train that they're on that day, you're not going to have the time to express, hey, I really care about quality. And that's something I want you to know. So if quality is not what you're looking for, I might not be the right guy for you if you're shopping on a price, you know. So that's why I think podcasting is so good, because you can repurpose the value. And those are some things that I intend to do moving forward in 2023.
Awesome. Man, you do some good stuff. I love it. So as we kind of, I appreciate you being on. This is some good information. We're running at the bottom of the screen how they can get a hold of you. They can follow you. Sure. You're on every Wednesday, right?
Every Wednesday. Yep. I have an episode that comes out every Wednesday. I have a newsletter that goes out every Wednesday. And typically we're going to have video for okay. every show, unless of course the guest doesn't want to be video, then we honor that.
Right. So if far as on social media, where they can find you, as if they just look for Shed Geek, they'll find you.
Look for Shed Geek, on the website, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, linked. We're going to start trying to create some shorts maybe here before too long on YouTube. I'm toying with the idea of TikTok. I don't know. My political brain's still kind of working on that.
Yeah, I know. I hit a period of time where I was starting to get on there, and I'll be honest, I've kind of back off, and I'm not sure. So if I'm not sure, I just don't, because I'm not sure I want to be. But
right, well, that's I echo those sentiments exactly. Yeah, exactly. I know exactly where you are, and I think that they're really cool. I think that's what a lot of people are looking for, that 1 minute content for sure. Mm-hmm. I think some of that stuff will be fun to do. And honestly, I get to do it as this character. I really get to have the time of my life. I spent so many years not knowing and feeling confident in my career or what I wanted to do. And now I feel more confident than I ever have and don't want to do anything else. I absolutely love podcasting. I love talking about sheds and construction. And really getting to meet the people behind it. Right. I kind of saw the people in the industry as the superstars. Matter of fact, we used to call them shed celebrities. So,
I love it.
We thought they were kind of funny because they would be noticeable on Facebook or Instagram or something. And I loved it.
That's good stuff. Well, hey, as we talked earlier, you have become an avatar of the shed industry, the bow tie and the suspenders. And I mean, It's a good look, man. I like it.
Well, I love it. It's a cartoon character, and in many ways, I feel like that's what podcasting gives you the ability to do. And never saw myself in this space, but I'm thankful for those times in customer service that kind of made me feel very welcome around people and wanting to do this very thing. So I love getting people's stories, and I think other people enjoy hearing them too.
Yeah, stories are good. And what you're doing, my final word on that is what you're doing. Bringing to your shed community is something that I keep a note right here on one of my light towers that I remind me all the time. Visibility equals opportunities, right? And the more visible you can be out there, the more visible your shed guys can be out there, the more opportunities that they don't have to go find. They come to them, right? Just because, you said, I saw you on some video. I saw a post you did. I saw you seem like a great guy. You seem honest. A big part of that sales, you know, using air quotes, is done before they come in the door, and that all because of the visibility, letting people know, raw and organic, who is this? Who is Billy the Shed Builder? Right? I want to know who this guy is. Right? So
that's right.
Awesome. No, any parting words, my friend?
They buy from who they trust. Yeah, it doesn't really. It doesn't matter what it is. They buy from who they trust, and if you become a trusted resource. I've never been good at sales. I've been good at building relationships. Yep. And, I know that there are books that say, was it the Challenger sale that says, you know, the relationship builder comes in second, but, second's fine with me. I'm perfectly fine if that's the best I can do. Cause I truly admire the opportunity to build relationships. And then when a sale happens through that, well, that's just great, but it's, the relationship is there, whether the sale's not, is or not. So,
and, when you get a sale that way, as opposed to strictly price, it's a sale that the customer's happy with. It's one that they'll refer, and they'll be a raving fan, as opposed to somebody that bought a shed, right?
You know, I think it's Zig Ziglar. That's the quote I was looking for earlier. Give, if you can have anything you want, as long as you can give other people what they want. So offer them value. I've got a picture hanging in my sign that in my office, a sign by Zig that says, if you're not willing to learn, no one can help you. But if you're willing to learn, no one can stop you.
Love it.
So it's just a matter of waking up every day, winning the day. And that's what I'm doing, man. And I enjoy it. I really am having a blast.
Love it. Yeah, we couldn't end it with anything better than that. Great statement. Great to have you on, my friend. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
You got her. The Shed Geek himself, Shannon Latham, the Shed Geek. Hey, come on. We have not had a geek on yet. Okay. Well, Wes is... and myself are a little geeky, but anyways, we've had the Shed Geek on. Now, make sure you follow him if you're in the shed industry at all, or interested in shed industry, or just want to watch a fun cartoon geek, as he likes to refer to himself. The guy is first class. You'll love him. So anyways, that's it for the day. Remember, continue to love what you do and do what you love. And remember what I always say, you want to live it, love it, and own it. And while you're at it, why don't you go make today your best day ever? Until tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.